They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Phil says in his heart that there is no God. That comes from Psalm 14. And today we're going to talk about the proof of God. It's a talk that Eric Hovind does. He's the president of Creation Today. And we have him with us today for the next few weeks, actually. And we're going to talk to him about this issue of the proof of God. And it's great to have you with us, Eric.
Steve, thanks for having me on today. Really appreciate it.
Let's talk about why you talk about the proof of God.
Well, I grew up in a Christian home. And at 18 years old, I began to doubt the faith, began to wonder if Christianity was really true, began to wonder if God really exists. So I went on a journey to really discover the truth about God. I just wanted the truth. I didn't want to believe a lie. And after looking at a lot of different things, I've discovered it is true. God absolutely exists. Not only that, God must exist. And so literally now, I love going around and giving people the encouraging news that not only does God exist, we can know it, we can prove it. The Bible says it's self-evident, but we can prove it. And those that do not believe that, as you said right there at the beginning, intellectually, it becomes a foolish thing to try to claim. So that's what I love doing, is going around and talking about that.
And I've seen you do it, by the way, and I love the way that you do it. I love how you discuss, particularly when you're talking with atheists and agnostics. And you just have a particular process and methodology that you use in when you're talking with people. I'm just wondering if you can take me through some of the thought processes that bring you to your conclusion.
Yeah, I gave this whole process in a longer series on a DVD that you guys created called Proof of God, four questions you should ask an atheist or a skeptic. And the process is somewhat simple. I've talked with a lot of atheists, Steve, over the years, and literally thousands of them, and I really enjoy good, honest conversations with them. But when you get right down to the nitty-gritty, any intellectually honest atheist would say, we cannot know anything and for certainty. We cannot have certainty about anything. Mm-hmm. Now, I love bringing this into the logical realm where we say, okay, let's think about this logically. Yep. And so I ask them four questions that I think set up the truth of God and who he is. And then the last question undermines the atheist or the skeptic's position, showing that you must believe in God. Mm-hmm. Can I give you those questions real quick?
Yeah, I'm just wondering one thing, though. When they say that they can't have any certainty about anything, do you ever ask them if they're certain about that?
I do, and that is kind of the clincher. And they love saying, yes, I'm certain of that, and that's the only thing I can be certain about, is that we can't be certain about anything.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Well, okay, take us through the questions.
Well, and just so you know, and I love the DVD that you guys put together, because it really helps take us through this process, showing even famous atheists like David Hume. I quote from a lot of different atheists, but David Hume, just so you know that I'm not making this up, David Hume himself said, we have no good reason to believe that the perceptual images outside of us reveal or mirror or mimic the perceptual images inside of us. I've got no way to tell if what I think I'm seeing in this world is actually there. Mm. The modern way they say it, in modern day, because of the movie The Matrix, the atheists will say, we all could be in The Matrix. There was a debate between Matt Dillahunty and Seitzenberg and Kadick last year, and Matt Dillahunty, this atheist, said, we could be in The Matrix. We debated David Silverman, president of the American Atheist Association. Mm. He said, I can't prove that I'm not in The Matrix. So that's kind of the new way of saying, we've got no way to tell if we are experiencing reality. There's no way to understand that.
Wow.
So I asked these four questions to atheists, and they set up the Christian worldview, and they undermine the atheistic or skeptical worldview. The four questions are these. Question number one, is it impossible for the God of the Bible to exist? Now, the reason I ask this question is because an atheist or a skeptic, an honest one, will say nothing is impossible. So is it impossible for the God of the Bible to exist? Well, they have to answer, no, it's not impossible. Those that say, yes, it is impossible, they're in a catch-22 situation. How do you know it's impossible? Do you know everything? So they must intellectually, to be honest, they must back up and say, no, it is possible for the God of the Bible to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you've just done is you've created an avenue to the existence of God. They've admitted, yes, it is possible for God to exist. So the next question I ask is it impossible for the Bible to be what it claims to be? Because the Bible, as you know, claims to be the Word of God. It claims to be revelation from God. So I ask the question that way on purpose, is it impossible for the Bible to be what it claims to be? Because according to an intellectually honest atheist, nothing is impossible.
Hmm.
And then the third question I ask is this, could the God of the Bible, the all-powerful God of the Bible, creator of the universe, could he reveal truth to us in such a way that we can be absolutely certain of it? Could an all-powerful being make us certain of things?
Mm.
And of course, they had to admit, well, nothing's impossible. So yes, an all-powerful God could do that. Now, whether or not they realize it, and this is what I try to bring about in a good intellectual conversation, they've just given the Christians an avenue to God's existence, to the Bible being the Word of God, revelation from God. And then third, they've given me an avenue to absolute certainty, that we can know things and be absolutely certain of them.
So how do you use that then?
Yeah, so we've got now an avenue to these things that the atheist is trying to undermine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask one final question, Steve, and this one is the clincher, and it's the one that they all hate. I ask the atheist, hey, could you be wrong about everything you think you know?
Hmm.
And an intellectually honest atheist will say, yes, I could be wrong about everything I think I know. And in that DVD, I give several clips and quotes and things like that from atheists that I've asked, even famous atheists,
yes,
that have said, yes, we could be wrong about everything we think we know.
Yeah, they are amazing clips.
Yeah, and now what they've just done is they've undermined everything they're about to say. Because, and the atheist will say, well, you're just, you know, you're using a three-year-old argument. You're arguing like a three-year-old, because now anytime they make a claim, hey, the Bible's not true. Hey, the Bible's got contradictions. Hey, you know, the Earth is millions of years old. Hang on. You just said you could be wrong about everything you think you know. So you could be wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I could be wrong about that. Well, then you don't know that. No, I don't know that. Now, when they debate, they don't debate like that. They debate as if they do know things, even though their own worldview would say that they cannot have certainty about anything.
Yep.
And so their worldview is claiming that they cannot have certainty, while at the same time, they are standing as if they do have certainty.
Yes.
When they say evolution is a proven fact, well, hang on just a second. You make a statement that is illogical with your own worldview, because your own worldview says you could be wrong about everything you think you know. See, as a Christian, and this is a big subject here, and this is why I talk about this. As a Christian, I can have certainty. God makes us certain. God gives us certainty. Now, there are Christians out there who will not claim that. There are some very famous apologists that would say, if asked, are you certain about anything? They would say no. If you say, are you certain that God exists? They would say, no, I'm not certain. And I go, how in the world can we defend God's word and defend verses like in 1 Corinthians? I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah.
And then when pushed, saying, hey, could you be wrong about that? They say, yeah. Whoa. How can we quote a verse like that? Nothing can separate me from the love of God and Christ Jesus our Lord, and then say I could be wrong. It's kind of like me saying, hey, Steve, is it possible that your wife, Trish, doesn't exist? Is that possible? I mean, I know you guys have been married for a number of years, and you've got a couple of kids. I mean, is it possible she's not even real?
It's amazing. Of course it's not.
That's what we have to take to the atheist, is realize And there's a few things we do need to realize up front is that they do know God exists.
Mm.
They understand that. Now, trust God's word that they do know God exists. And now let's challenge them and hold up the mirror to their life and reveal to them they really do know this. They don't live life based on an atheistic principle that they don't know anything. Mm. They drive on the right side of the road in America. They look both ways before they cross the street, even in India. They don't really live as if they don't know anything. They live as if they do know things.
Well, one of the big things, though, and I think you bring this out in your DVD as well, is that there is a major contrast in relation to the claims of Scripture, because if we can trust God, we need to be able to trust someone who knows everything. And the consistency of Scripture is that God is only ever portrayed as one who is omniscient.
That is exactly right. And that's really what it comes down to, is the atheist is correct when he makes the claim, hey, if I don't know everything, then I can't know anything for certain. And that's where I go, you know what? You're right. Mm. Unless you know somebody who does know everything. Because, Steve, you and I, and the Bible says everybody, including the people that claim to be atheists, we all know the God of the Bible exists.
Yep.
He is the one who knows everything. And since he knows everything, he can tell us things,
yep,
and we can be certain of the things he tells us, absolutely certain of the things he tells us, because he knows everything. He cannot be wrong, and he cannot lie. Now we have an avenue to absolute certainty. And I have to tell atheists this. I say, when I give this presentation, I talk to the atheists in the audience, because they're typically there. And I say, listen, don't mistake my confidence for arrogance, because they often do that. They think, oh, you just think that you're right and you can't be wrong about anything. No, man, there's lots of things I could be wrong about. My wife could give you a list of things that I'm wrong about.
Right.
But there are some things that I cannot be wrong about. And that's not arrogance. That's just confidence that I trust God. I trust that God is telling us the truth. I trust that God is giving us absolute certainty.
Because it's not your wisdom, it's God's wisdom that you're portraying. It's God's wisdom that you are really pointing to, that has been revealed to you. It starts with him.
Exactly. It's kind of like salvation. We're not better than anybody else. We're just better off.
Mm.
And in the same way with art, with the knowledge that we have, revelation from God, and everybody has access to this,
mm,
we're no better than anybody. We're just better off for understanding that we do have the truth.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And as we finish here, it just reminds me of the verse, because we're talking about, we can't reason these people into heaven. We cannot show them and say, hey, there's this great proof to know anything. There has to be an all-knowing creator. And, you know, you make this point to somebody and instantly they're going to say, oh, yes, I'm wrong and I need to be saved. But the Bible talks about having the eyes of our hearts enlightened. This is a work of the Spirit. It's a work of God when we present the gospel of Jesus Christ and they come to a true knowledge, no longer under the God of this world who blinds their eyes, but they come to see the light of and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where we need to bring people. And so thank you so much, Eric, and thank you for the work that you're doing and that you're willing to talk to a lot of these people. It gives us courage to go out and talk to them ourselves, not so that we can win arguments, but so that we can highlight the truth of the good news of Jesus, that they might come to know him. And if you want to know more about this, you can get Eric's DVD on the Answers in Genesis website, answersingenesis.org, and it's the proof of God. Thanks for being with us this week.
Thank you, Steve.
If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.